guys make money from that?
You know, it's funny. Nobody asked me that. It's not to this day asked me that.
Every single person has asked me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you, how could you make money off that?
I'm like, no. They're like, oh, you could have ads. I'm like, I don't want to have ads.
Yeah, that's what our viewers want, is for us to have fucking ads.
That's what our 100 listeners want to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that we can make 37 cents per episode.
If somebody wants to pay us like big money.
That's the thing.
Then sure.
That's the thing, is I would read an ad at the top of every episode about something that I actually liked.
That's what I would make it. If it was going to be a film, it would have to be film things. Like Arc'teryx, we could do an ad for.
Yeah. If we got free...
We could do an ad for Yeti water bottles.
Yeah, we got free Arc'teryx jackets with our name and the props cast embroidered on the side.
Oh, that'd be cool. You know what would be a big one for film people? A huge one.
What?
That I've dissed in the past, but now I've decided that I like Blundstones.
Oh, you dissed Blundstones?
I used to diss them, yeah. Just because everybody had them, man. I was like, fuck these fucking boots.
Yeah, because
dude,
they're the perfect footwear for on set.
And then I tried them, Clayton, and I fucking fell in love.
Because I was the same way. I didn't have them, and then I bought them, and I wore them every single day for 3 years.
Same here, except for in the summer. You don't wear them in the summer, do you?
No.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This is the Props Cast.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. Good to have everybody here. We were just talking about ads.
This is our second episode back.
It still feels weird.
We're still on the COVID times.
We're still 6 feet apart.
Yes, we are.
I think we're about maybe even more.
We were going to go to Cactus Club, but then we decided to tone it down a bit and just get shawarma and falafel.
It was so good.
I was scared to go to Cactus Club.
I know. Because it's going to be busy.
And you know, you get that fucking asshole that we sat by that one time.
Oh, the cilantro guy.
The cilantro guy. You get him in there. He's spit talking. You know he's been exposed 6 ways of fucking Sunday. He just got back from fucking God knows where. COVID city.
I hope everyone is staying safe out there still. We don't want another outbreak.
And just stay safe. Just be cool, man.
Yeah.
Turn down the jets.
Get a mask. At Krantzwork on Instagram.
Yeah.
If you're in the Vancouver area, get a mask. Wear it.
You know what I've noticed too about my Krantzwork mask?
What's that?
Is now that I've washed it, mm-hmm. It's even better.
Mm.
It kind of forms to the face more.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude.
What patterns did you get?
I got black.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a Bret Michaels bandana pattern.
I don't know what that means.
And, well, look it up. And I got like a blue jean kind of looking.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
There's not a lot. I mean, some of the patterns are pretty out there.
Yeah.
As far as what I'm into. Like, I'm not going to wear one of cats or flowers.
I'll probably wear ones with cats on it.
A little loud for Jordy. Do you know what I mean? But this is the world we're living in.
Oh, man. Masks.
So how have you been doing?
I've been okay. How have you been doing?
I've been doing decent.
I'm getting anxious about going back to work. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, because I honestly...
You're not alone there, pal.
I still don't know. I know that we have been given, you know, some material about how it's going to go down and how the safety measures are in place. But until we do it, man, I don't understand how we're going to make it work.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say right now, if there's any first ADs listening to this podcast, you guys better have your shit together. I know that the ones we're buddies with, Seamus, Dan Miller, yeah.
Paul Domek.
Yeah, those guys will have it tightened up. It's the other fucking helmets that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing, because that's always the struggle when you have a first AD that doesn't know or doesn't care about all the other, how all the departments work.
They run the show.
It doesn't work. Like, it's just a mess.
And if they're flustered, we're all going to be flustered.
Yeah.
And we're going to have foggy glasses, and everyone's going to get, you know what I mean? Yes. So let's make sure all of our first ADs out there get your shit together. Yeah. That's all I'm
saying. And if you're a TAD right now, if you're TADing or moving up to third, now's a great time to educate yourself about the process that every department goes through. Mm. Because if you're a third and you're in circus, you have the best time to talk to makeup and hair and wardrobe about what they do to prep, so you can get an idea of how long things actually take.
Yeah.
So there's none of this, well, how long is that makeup change going to take with the prosthetics?
17 minutes.
17 minutes. Yeah. 17 minutes.
Well, we said 17 minutes.
Well, 17 minutes. Wow, that's 2 weeks ago. I can't stand that shit.
I know, they're always so shocked, like, and they're always cued on their walkie. Like, they're always they're always shocked on the walkie on Channel One, so everybody can hear how shocked they are. It's like, yeah, we get it. We know it's a fucking unbelievable thing to take somebody from normal look to a complete after fucking fight look.
And it's just so weird that when I look here on the call sheet, how those two scenes are back to back. And it's like, how did that happen? That's so weird that...
We should just make this show about critiquing ADs.
We should be running the AD training program.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah, I know. Fuck. But don't you think, like, just as a parting note on this subject, that the best ADs are the ones that know what's going on.
Yeah. And the ones that just accept, they have acceptance around things.
Yeah. Right? Dan
Miller. I'm just saying, yeah, exactly. I'm just saying that in the COVID times, I just want the ADs to be aware
of what's happening. We all have to go in there knowing that everything's going to take twice as long at least. Probably exactly. 10 times as long.
So let's get our shit together. Anyways, we're just going to have to see how it goes, man.
Just make every schedule like half a page a day.
Exactly, dude.
Anyway, should we get into our topic?
I think we should.
Or do you have anything else that you want to add?
No, I don't. Our topic today is going to be movies that celebrate black people, black culture, and black filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And black stories that need to be told.
Yeah. So a lot of these movies, a lot of these movies were big movies that we're going to talk about. You've probably already seen them. But if you haven't, like a lot of these I hadn't seen, they're really good. Like, they're really good movies to watch. And especially right now, if you're trying to educate yourself like I am, like, these are important.
These are the ones.
These are important. And this isn't, we don't want to get preachy about it. Just if you're out there wondering, oh, what should I do? What should I watch? Here's some suggestions.
Because some of these too, my biggest thing about all these lists that we've compiled is I think a lot of these are legitimate stories that need to be heard.
Yeah. Right?
They've been told and now they need to be heard in a bigger audience with maybe a slightly different perspective, and people will get a different message from it now that they've been educated a bit, right?
That's so well put.
And I don't like when things fly under the radar and people don't really like. There's a few on here that I think are really important for people to see.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have one that you want to start with?
Well, let's start with the one that we both watched recently, and I just watched today, actually. Ooh. Or no, yeah, this morning at like 6 in the morning. Yeah, of Monsters and Men. I keep wanting to say of Monsters and Men. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's not the Iceland pop band.
Pop band? Fuck, dude.
This was a movie that, because I looked up a bunch of lists when I was trying to like, okay, I need to, because I'll just say this, I'm just going to embarrass myself and be like, my movie list was significantly whitewashed. I feel I'm embarrassed to say it. Like, I just, there's a significant deficit of black movies. Also, we all know that I haven't seen fucking any movies that are good. So
we have a whole episode.
It's kind of not that surprising.
No, but now that you've seen them all, how many did you watch in the last 2 weeks?
I watched two a day in the last week.
So what is that, like 20 movies?
Oh, yeah, 14. It's close. 14 or 15. And there's still so many more. Like, we're not going to get to all of them. We're going to pick some of the ones that really affected us, I think.
Yeah. And okay, so Monsters and Men.
This is a 2018 movie that, again, a movie that I had never heard of.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say about this fucking movie.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, the way it was done, the craftsmanship around it is fucking so awesome.
Yeah.
I love this kind of camera work.
Yeah.
I love how the director covered it. There's so many things that are right up my alley as far as the technical aspects of this film.
It's weird. It's like, I don't know how to describe that look of a film.
I know. Neither do
but,
I, really.
But there's lots of movies that take on that look. It must be something to do with New York, because this is shot in New York.
You couldn't have made this movie in anywhere else.
The concrete jungle kind of landscape. It's very gray in tones, like in visual tones,
it has a lot of movement. Like, it's almost like a bit of like a classical music or a symphony kind of playing.
Camera's always moving, but not in like a Michael Bay way.
No, like, fuck, dude.
You know, like lots of dollying. There's a lot. You know, it's the camera's moving through spaces and following the characters.
And then they do that, but then they'll have like a static shot where somebody will just walk into focus.
Yeah.
Or they'll just walk in and they'll just pan with them just a bit, and they don't turn their full face. Like, there's a lot of shots that are kind of like the sides of people's face, and not even like a proper 50-50.
Yeah.
Like almost the back of their head, but you can still see their eyes. Loved it. Fucking loved it. This director, Ronaldo Marcus Green, fucking brilliant guy, dude. Brilliant.
We kind of talked about this before we started rolling, but I was taken aback by, so if you haven't seen it, it's sort of three stories in one.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't expecting. So you're following this kid. Is it Manny?
Manny is the first guy, yeah.
Manny witnesses a police shooting, and he films it on his phone outside of this bodega, and this black man gets shot by the police, and six officers.
It's loosely based on, I believe the guy's name was Eric Garner.
Oh, really?
He was a guy who was in New York, and he was selling loose cigarettes outside of...
Oh, yeah, that's totally what this was.
Yeah, and he didn't die that way, as they portrayed in this movie, but he was murdered out front of the bodega, just like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's loosely based on that, I think.
So, you know, in the first story, Manny is conflicted about what he should do with the footage, if he should, you know, he's also just got a new job. He's got a kid and a second one on the way. He's kind of young, so he doesn't want to cause trouble by posting this video, but he feels like it's the right thing to do.
Well, and it's such a huge moment. I mean, he knows that. When you watch a movie like this and you kind of see how it is, it's almost like a political scenario within the police and the people, like the citizens on the streets, because the cops know who he is by name.
Yeah.
Right. They know he's got this footage.
Yeah.
And they're warning him.
Not.
To his face.
Yeah.
In like, they approach him in a park when he's with his wife and daughter, and they say, you better not release that footage because, you know, we don't want to cause problems. And you're like, could you imagine that, dude? Imagine that. Like, if it was a political game like that within your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, the cops came up to you on the street and they're like, hey, Clayton, they called you by name. They knew who you were. They knew where you lived. They knew who your family was. And you're like, holy fuck, man.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I think the message of a lot of these movies is that white people don't understand.
Yeah.
One of the many things we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Is that not being able to trust the police.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fucking thing that white people don't understand, and they need to try to wrap their head around it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is a common theme throughout the movie that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much more about this movie, but that's sort of like the first story that happens, and then it goes from there. But it also follows a black cop in NYPD.
Yeah.
And sort of his side. Struggle. Because he just wants to, you know, do right and do good.
And he wants to keep his job. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And he knows that if he says anything, he knew the fucking dirty cop was dirty, but then he has to lie to internal affairs. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the third guy who the story follows is like it's such a great movie.
Yeah.
It's another, it's a kid who's like going to get drafted to a baseball team, and he wants to say his piece, but he doesn't want to ruin his.
Yeah. He's on the chance of being signed to the what is the
MLB? Well, he's going to be in the draft.
He's going to be in the draft. He doesn't want to blow that chance.
Yeah.
But then he wants to take a stand and speak out about this. Yeah. So he goes to this rally the night before, and his dad is disappointed in him. And man, it's like heart-wrenching.
It is, dude. And this movie's only fault is I wanted it to be 6 hours
long. Yeah, like you said, it could have been a series.
Dude, I just wanted to know, I wanted to know what happened. Like, I mean, I get that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's part of this film is that you don't really know how the fuck it all unfolds. Probably for like most of it, it's, you know, as a tale of what's been happening, it doesn't end well, you know, for the kid, especially the kid in jail.
Yeah.
Right. Who was picked up for nothing. Anyways, fuck, we could just talk about this movie for a fucking hour and a half.
This is what I mean, man. We could talk. Yeah.
But it's a great movie for people to watch. It's very well done, very well acted, and fuck, rent it if you can, support it. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, what do you got?
Let's talk about Blindspotting.
Oh, Fucking back to back.
You told me to watch this a while ago, and man, is it good. I don't even know. Again, I don't know how to describe the style. It's a little more stylistic than Monsters and Men.
It's different to me. To me, it really captured San Francisco slash Oakland kind of really well, right?
Yeah.
And I feel that's what I love when a movie tells a story, you know, in the town that it's supposed to be in. I know that doesn't happen here, obviously, too much. But it couldn't, though.
We're used to faking it.
Well, you couldn't fake Vancouver for San Francisco in this particular movie. It would be too much of a disservice.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not an honest story. Like, movies don't have to be shot in the city that they're taking place in. A movie like this does, though.
It's got to embody the spirit of the neighborhood. Exactly. Right?
Because it's another character. Yeah. It's another character, right? And then you're just not, if you shoot a movie... If you're faking a city for a town and it's not an honest character, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So this movie, when I saw it when it first came out, because there's certain shows that I, like, you know me, I don't let go for the big blockbusters, Clayton.
I know.
I don't want to see fucking Marvel movies. I don't want to see fucking another Quidditch / Ewoks movie, okay?
Wow, that's quite the mashup.
I don't want to see... another Michael Bay movie again in my life.
I could never see a Michael Bay
movie. After watching Six Underground, dude, I'm done.
You didn't even watch the whole thing.
I watched 20 minutes of it and that was enough for the rest of my life. I'm fucking done with shit like that.
I wasted my time and I watched the whole movie because I just wanted it to be... Anyway, let's not talk about it.
Because you know what I like? I like when movies are important. And I like when they have substance. This one is 100%.
This is a 2018 movie directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada. And it stars David Diggs.
Love David Diggs.
And Rafael Castle? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
They are such a good combo, these two guys.
Well, they're friends in real life.
Are they? Yeah, they must be because they play childhood friends who've grown up together. David's character, Colin... in his last 3 days of his probation, and they're hanging out, and he just doesn't want to get into any trouble. And they work as a team at a moving company, and fuck the scenes with them together, man. It's just so great.
Well, that's
to watch,
just, you know, yeah, I mean? It is great. And David, Colin in the movie, David's character, David Diggs, he's trying to get his life straightened out.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's being kind of dragged down by his white friend.
Yeah.
Because his white friend is kind of more of the gong show character.
He's a bit more of
he's always getting into trouble.
The troublemaker, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a whole scene. But you know what I love about this movie is the title, Blindspotting.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you're like, what the fuck is that?
What does it mean? You know what I'm saying?
And then they describe it.
And I feel like this is why this is an important movie for people to watch right now. Because we're all going through that blind spot.
Yeah.
You know, the fucking past, whatever, our whole lives regarding this subject matter is kind of a giant blind spot.
Yeah.
For everyone.
You're not seeing what's there. You're seeing what you want to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're trying to... You know, you think you understand it, but you're not.
I don't
want really to
spoil. I don't want to spoil it in the when they describe it in the movie. I'm like, oh, please, everyone, go watch this movie.
Because
the way that, goddamn,
I know it's fucking great, dude. It's so great.
But there's some really it's an important movie because it's a very serious subject matter, but they approach it in very entertaining and often humorous ways as well. Because these two guys, like, their banter together is so funny. And then there's that part where the other guy, I don't know, he's like a bit part, but he tells the story about the fight.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And the way they do it is, like, it's so heart-wrenching, but also so funny the way they...
The way they
reveal it.
I know.
And you're just like, because I was like kind of smiling and laughing, but also like my heart was aching. I was like, oh, so many emotions like all at once.
I know.
This is a great movie if you can go and see
it. Well, and that's what, I don't know. This the whole, I just want people to watch it because if you can get that message from it, the blind spotting message.
Yeah.
It's important because I feel like what's going on right now a little bit, not to get on a fucking soapbox here, Clayton, but I feel like what's going on with people is, here's my analogy, okay? It's like we're all living in this house, okay? We've been living here for fucking years, you know? We've been living here for years. Yeah, it's a, you know, decent house. It seems fucking stable. And then one day you notice there's a fucking piece of the floor that's rotten, right? And you're like, oh, you lift it up. Then you're like, oh, shit. So more of this is rotten. Then you lift up another board and it's rotten too. Soon you've ripped up the whole floor and you realize that the whole fucking foundation of this house is rotten, rotted to the ground, bro. And you're like, fuck, we got to rebuild the whole fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And it really sucks. And you don't want to see it. You don't want this to happen, but it's there. And you've been living over top of it for fucking years, decades, right? And now you got to rebuild it.
What?
It just represents the fucking shit that we've all been blind to for that long.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because that's what this movie represents to me.
Right.
Is how, and I know it doesn't directly apply to what's going on right now. Obviously, everybody can have mental blind spots in their life at any time. But I feel like that's kind of what society is going through right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Well, it's like you said before we started recording, like there in these movies that we're talking about today, there's so many stories and things that we were blind to and that we didn't know. And now we know.
Yeah, now we know.
And now you're accountable for that knowledge.
Well, and what, that's what I was saying is once you've been exposed to certain knowledge, and if you still choose to be ignorant about it, well, then you're, that's then, on you then. Yeah, then you are a piece then of
you're,
shit.
Yeah, you're a problem.
If you legitimately didn't know, then you legitimately didn't know. Mm-hmm. But now you know.
But now you know.
So anyways, watch fucking Blindspotting. Great movie.
Great movie. Let's talk about Malcolm X.
Sure.
Have you? I watched it recently, but you watched it a while ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a while, okay. But I remember it.
So this is a Spike Lee movie.
I saw it in the theaters. Is that too long ago? Shit.
When did that come out?
But I remember it.
92 that came out.
Yeah, there was an intermission. I remember that.
Yeah, it's a long one.
I mean, no, I've seen it way more recent than that. I haven't probably watched it in its entirety.
Yeah.
But I've seen most of it.
Yeah,
in the last 10 years.
The first thing, man, like, what do you say about this movie?
What do you say?
Here's the thing I'll say is that I knew of Malcolm X. I didn't know who he was or what he stood for specifically.
Well, he was a very powerful individual.
Yeah.
As far as what he was standing for, up for at the time.
Yeah.
Because obviously it wasn't what everybody wanted to hear.
Yeah.
You could imagine.
Totally. And I just thought it was interesting seeing how he got to, like, because it's a full-on biopic. It shows him growing up and he goes to jail and becomes a Muslim.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I watched this and then I watched Selma, which we'll talk about maybe next, which is about Martin Luther King. And they didn't see eye to eye, those two. And
no, they didn't.
It's very interesting watching the two movies because you see they mention each other in the movies. And you kind of see the perspective that each of them had.
Well, and Malcolm X was a bit more hard-nosed, right?
You could say that.
Martin Luther King was a bit more reserved.
Yeah.
Right? He was a doctor.
Yes.
Right? So he was a bit more seeing both sides, kind of. Mm-hmm. But Malcolm X didn't give a fuck, dude.
Malcolm X was yeah.
But he did change his tune, though.
He right? did because he went on the pilgrimage and he
exactly.
went. Yeah.
But I mean, you can't blame him for being the way he was.
But that's the thing, right? Yeah. Because when you see what he went through and like how he grew up.
Exactly.
And how
why would you
he ended up in jail. It's like, yeah.
Oh, dude. Exactly. I'd be fucking choked. But I mean that Malcolm X is a great film. Spike Lee made that film in 92 and at the time, I think people, you know, were they 100% ready for that movie? Probably not.
Apparently.
Although the 90s was a bit of a wake-up call for people. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously nothing really got solved, but more stories were being told.
Yes.
In that vein. Black culture, black people, right? Because Because I remember even, you know, watching watching Malcolm X in the theater. I think I saw Do the Right Thing in the theater. And then watching Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood. Let's talk about Boys in the Hood for a minute, for a quick second.
Oh, we're done talking about Malcolm X.
No, okay, go back to Malcolm X.
No, okay, we can talk about Boys in the Hood. Because I watched that one recently, too. I hadn't seen that one.
Good movie, right?
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's like, it is a bit dated. It, just because it was made in the 90s.
It suffers from 90s fatigue, I guess. I don't know what you'd call that.
It suffers from Guess jeans, yeah. Club Monaco sweatshirts.
Yeah.
No, that's probably not that, actually.
I didn't know Lawrence Fishburne was in that movie.
Yeah, he's the dad.
He's the dad. Mm-hmm. He's great.
And you know what? I thought Cuba Gooding at times is a little misdirected in that movie. Although I love John Singleton, bless his soul. But I feel like Cuba Gooding was a little over the top in certain scenes.
That's Cuba, though.
You're right. That is Cuba. It's a departure from like movies like, let's say, Radio, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's still a great fucking movie, though. I mean, Ice Cube's great in it.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba's great in it. I can't remember the guy who played the older brother, the football player. I mean, there's a lot of tropes in that movie. That movie, not kidding, created a lot of archetypes for black films at the time.
Really?
I think so. Because it's like that story about kids from the neighborhood. One guy is the bad guy. One guy is the guy trying to get a scholarship.
Oh, right.
One guy is the guy trying to do things right, but they get sucked back in by the fucking badassery. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that those tropes, those are just going to happen, because those are real life tropes. You know what I mean? Like, those are real life archetypes that just took form.
Right.
But there was a lot of movies made after that had a similar scenario,
right?
Including Menace to Society, which you probably haven't seen.
I didn't see that one, no.
But it's fucking great, too. Love that one. I almost like it better, actually, than Boys in the Hood.
Oh, I should have watched that. Well, I'll watch them both.
It's not like Menace to Society isn't a story that, you know, pertains to what's going on. I mean, it does and it doesn't. It's just more an honest story about those days.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's like a movie that everybody needs to rush out and watch, but if you want to watch it, it's great. I love it.
Jumping back to Malcolm X.
Sure.
I read that Spike Lee had a really hard, like, no one really believed that he could do it, this movie.
Yeah.
And
because it wasn't that long after Do the Right Thing, was it?
No.
A few years later.
And this is like a big epic.
Huge epic biopic.
You know, it's like, it spans from, when does it start?
The 40s or something.
Late 30s, early 40s, goes right up to his murder in...
I remember as a kid.
60s, 70s? Yeah,
I know. Him being murdered, too. There's controversy around that, is there not?
Is there?
I believe there is. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, the movie portrays it one way, and I'm not 100% educated, but I believe there's a bit of controversy around it.
Interesting.
There's actually a series on Netflix about it called Who Killed Malcolm X.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I didn't see the movie, but I saw the poster.
I don't know if it goes against... I think it might, though, because I think I watched a preview for it. I don't think... I definitely didn't watch it, but I watched a preview for it, and I don't know if they agree with how it says he died.
Interesting.
Or who killed him.
Right.
But maybe I should watch it, then I'll talk about it. The documentary.
When he was making it, Spike Lee, they were going way over budget, and he went to like Oprah and other black artists and people of prominence and asked them for money just to finish the movie because he was so over budget. But he felt like he had to do it right.
And Oprah was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Here's what do you need?
Yeah. And I think he did a great job. I mean, he did a whole unit where Malcolm X goes to Mecca.
Yeah. That was an important part of the story.
Totally. Right? Because that, when he comes back from that, he's kind of got a fresh take on his life in general. Yeah. So that was like, I mean, I couldn't believe that they fucking did that. It was crazy.
I know. And he still got, I know. And he still was assassinated.
Denzel. Always fucking fantastic.
Who doesn't love Denzel, man?
I love Denzel.
Who doesn't love him? Like, I love him. Training Day was one of my fucking favorite performances.
I
don't know
that
why.
Again, recently.
It's just so quotable, dude. I just love the car ride banter that he does.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When he hands him that pipe and he's like, yo, just take a hit. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you like to get wet. It's just shit like that.
And he's like, what?
Yeah. I just love it. I love it. Okay. I can't get enough, man.
Anyway, Malcolm X is an important story. I don't feel like this movie's dated because when you do period piece, you kind of get a free pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I mean, they did back in the 90s, they did the periods right.
Yeah.
They didn't fuck around back then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because in the beginning of that movie, when they're wearing like the zoot suits and stuff.
And they had dyed their hair orange and
shit.
I was
like, holy fuck. Like the costumes and the.
Oh, I know. It was beautiful.
It was amazing.
Well, I remember as a kid watching that movie in the theater, and I had never heard of that before. Men dyeing their hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of that. I remember the first time and somebody bleaching their hair.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, why would you do that? Like, I was so confused.
And then 1997 came.
And I started to dye the shit out of it. Fucking A rights, dude. Fucking A rights, man.
You didn't watch Selma, did you?
No, I didn't.
I'll talk.
But.
Oh?
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I'll just talk because I mentioned it earlier. It's Martin Luther King. And it's not really his entire biopic. It's about a specific. About
that incident, yeah.
Yeah, about his specific march in Alabama. And it's just a really great peek into how Martin Luther King was conversing with the president at the time and trying to find a very peaceful way for the government to help and like really getting stonewalled.
Yeah, I know, right? It's
and just how patient he was. It's just a totally different perspective on how to deal with things than Malcolm X, but definitely worth a watch. That's directed by Ava DuVernay.
Well, and the guy who played Martin Luther King, David Aiello, I worked with him on Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Oh, really?
The first one, yeah.
I thought he was great, really nice too.
Guy. British guy.
Because he didn't... There's a certain... Like, we've all seen clips of Martin Luther King giving his speeches. He has a very kind of distinct way of speaking when he's giving a speech, but I think it could have been easy to, like, do a caricature of that.
Right.
And he did not go that way.
Yeah. No,
which I'm very thankful for, because this is more of a in his private life movie.
Right.
You know,
it's more about like the struggle with like him just being a family
man and just like him like trying to find a way to be like, how can we do this? How can we get the president to like get on our side? You know what I mean? Anyway, it's definitely worth a watch.
And Martin Luther King was assassinated too.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on, eh? Like it doesn't stop.
No.
The travesties, they don't stop. And they still don't stop. Hopefully they will soon.
There's great, also, just a side note, great cameos in Selma by Oprah Winfrey and Cuba Gooding Jr. that I was not expecting.
Okay, what was the one that I was going to say, though, that you hadn't seen, that I'd seen, that I was like,
I don't know, because I only wrote down the ones I saw.
Okay, well, anyways, moving on. Let's move on to Get Out.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Jordan Peele's masterpiece, Get Out.
So,
2000 and what?
17.
Yo, bro.
I didn't watch this because I don't like horror films.
Oh, you didn't watch it at the time?
Yeah, when it came out.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. Because I thought it was a horror film, and I'm like, I don't like horror films.
You didn't know that it had a powerful message.
No, I didn't. And
well,
now,
why would you?
Of course, I feel like a fucking idiot for not.
Dude.
But I'm really glad I watched it. And then, actually, you talk about it, because I've been babbling on for a
bit. Dude, fuck. I saw it in the theaters.
Yeah?
When I first realized where they were going with that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the theater watching it because I was the same. I thought it was just a thriller. I didn't see the underlying message until about halfway through. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is like a movie about that.
When you figure out what's going on.
Dude.
I mean, is it safe to talk about it? Spoilers?
I think so. If you haven't seen Get Out, then that's on you.
If you haven't seen Get Out, then get out.
Yeah, get woke.
just skip ahead like 10 minutes. But like, the thing about horror films in general...
It's my favorite thing you've said.
With me?
Yeah.
Is that when I do watch a horror film, I'm like, oh, that was actually really good. Because I like psychological thrillers, and that's what this is.
Yeah, although there is some jump scares.
There's a couple jump scares, but in an acceptable amount.
Very acceptable. And Jordan Peele has the perfect amount of like string instruments that come in. Like, yeah,
the music was really good.
And you're like, oh, fuck.
But this movie is full of great performances. And like you said, like when you figure out, when you have that moment.
Yeah.
That dawns on you of what's actually happening.
When they're playing,
it all sinks in. Quote unquote bingo.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fuck.
And you're like, oh shit.
I know.
Then you and fuck, man. There's
because in a way, I mean, it's far fetched, but is it far fetched? Do you know what I mean?
No, I mean
like, it's not really.
There's a semi sci-fi element to it.
There is, but things like that have happened in because that's the, it's yeah. a metaphor for what has happened. For
what has really happened? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they used to do that with people. They didn't transfer brains or whatever they were, you know, whatever that aspect was.
Yeah.
But if they could, they would.
I mean, that's right? That's a great, the way they did that, it was great. They didn't really explain how they did it because
they just had their heads cut off.
It doesn't fucking matter. You know?
No, that's not what it's about.
It's not about science. It's not about neurosurgery.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's not face off.
They never explain that either.
No, they don't. They don't.
But no, it's such a great movie.
Well, it was so different too.
It was so different, and you know what it was? It took all those tropes, the horror film tropes, especially black people's roles in traditional horror films.
Yep.
And it turned it on its head.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because there's like you expect the girlfriend to be the one person that can save him.
And she's not.
Oh,
and we just gave it away.
Well, we said spoilers.
Dude, don't give a fuck. If you haven't seen it, then fuck. If you haven't seen Get Out, then get out. Fuck, it's my favorite line. No, but this is why, Clayton, I'm about to go on a rant again.
Okay.
This is why we need diversity in film.
Yeah, I know.
And this is why we need diversity in art, because Jordan Peele gives a whole new fresh fucking take. So we don't have to watch another fucking Jason versus Freddy fucking movie. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like we get a fresh new take on something.
Yeah.
And what does that do? It enriches all of our lives.
Yeah.
Right? Do you want to eat fucking mashed potatoes and fucking butterball turkey for the rest of your life? No. I want a whole bunch of different things. Right? And this is what pisses me off about white people is they think if black people... And all people of all races are able to be involved more in the film making process. White people think that they're going to miss out on, or they're giving up fucking Ally McBeal and fucking stupid Merle Haggard records. Or you know what I mean? Like they think they're losing everything, but they're not. We're not losing anything.
I know white people hate to be excluded.
We're not losing anything. We're just gaining everything.
Yeah.
Right? This movie is a perfect example of that. Jordan Peele in himself is a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a brilliant storyteller. He's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born to be. He was born to do this.
He was born to tell these stories.
And yeah, if you think Get Out is, you know, not, it's too much fucking, you know, making you out to be the white fucking devil that you are, well, then that's on you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
That's on you, right?
Yeah.
Then you are guilty of it, maybe, possibly. I don't know. Who am I to say, right? Okay, but I loved Get Out. If you haven't seen it, go out and see it.
It's got your favorite...
rent it.
It's got your favorite character actor in it, too.
And if you haven't seen Stephen Peele, yeah, I love Stephen Root.
I know you do. I didn't know he was in it, so then he showed up. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Oh, man, yeah.
You got another one?
Fuck, that was a good movie.
You got another one?
Why don't we talk about Moonlight?
Oh, okay. All right.
I just have my,
I saw app. This in the theaters
too. I have my app open and it just has all the little posters, like thumbnails. And I'm just sort of like, we'll talk about this one next. This is an Academy Award winning film, Best Picture, directed by Barry Jenkins.
Can we just quickly acknowledge how it won its Academy Award for Best Picture? Uh-oh. Do you remember the incident?
No, because I don't really watch the Oscars.
Okay, so
that sounds so snobby, but it's true. I just don't.
Why?
Because I don't.
Clayton, just because.
I think they're silly.
Just because they don't give one for props. You don't have to be mad about it.
It's not that. I just think they're silly.
But do you, though?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, okay. Can I tell the story about how Moonlight got its Academy Award?
How did you find out this information?
What do you mean, how did I find out? I watched it.
Oh, like you just saw.
You don't remember this happening?
No, what happened?
Oh, okay. Well, let me remind you. Okay, so I saw Moonlight in the theater.
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater. And I fucking thought it was an amazing fucking movie. Mm-hmm. It's not what you'd think. When I first went to see it, I had no idea that it was going to be about what it's about. It's definitely a slice of life movie, Clayton, which you know is right up my alley.
Yes.
You know that's right up my fucking alley. Because it's just a slice of life. It's nothing huge, Jeopardy or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's
just
a piece.
There's no bank robbery or meteor that crashes in Earth.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's just like, how would you describe it? It's just sort of like ripples on a pond, right?
Exactly. But it's very groundbreaking and it's very barrier breaking.
Yes.
This movie, right?
Yeah.
So I saw it in the theater. I fucking loved it. I went home, whatever, 6 months passed by or however long it was to the Oscars. Then I heard that I got nominated and I was like, oh shit, I might get nominated or I might win. Cause I'm like, it's a pretty fucking good movie. Right. Then I'm watching the Oscars. It fucking, I don't think won anything. I don't think, but it was in the same category. I can't remember all the movies that year, but it was up for Best Picture and La La Land was up for Best Picture. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Warren Beatty and the other lady from Bonnie and Clyde, they're going to fucking
Faye Dunaway
and Warren Beatty are up there and they're going to read the nominees and the winner for Best Picture. Okay.
Okay.
Now they're quite old. When this has happened, right? They're like in their late 70s.
Okay.
So they say the nominees. I can't remember all of them, but they say the nominees. They say La La Land. They say Moonlight. Then they fucking open the envelope for the winner, and Faye Dunaway goes, and the winner is La La Land. So the everyone goes, yay, and claps for La La Land. And the producer and the director of La La Land, they all get up and they walk up. And I know one of the fucking producers from La La Land. Okay? I know him. And all I'm going to say is no comment on it. Okay. And all I'm going to say is that I was choked that La La Land won. Because I'm like, fuck La La Land, whatever, right? I'm like, I wanted Moonlight to win. I'm laying on my back with my hands on my fucking chest on the ground watching this take place. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe La La Land won.
On
fucking
the ground. Blah, blah, blah. We'll get back to that.
Well, I'm watching the Oscars at home, laying on the ground. Okay. Is that so crazy to believe? So then all of a sudden they're up there. They start to give their fucking acceptance speeches. And then all of a sudden there's this like commotion, blah, 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 blah. All this hubbub happens. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, everybody, there's been a mistake. There's been a big mistake.
Oh no.
Moonlight actually won Best Picture.
Who's saying this?
One of the producers, not the one that I knew, but another one of the producers.
La La Land?
Of La La Land. He actually owned it, and I thought he did a really good job of making it right. Because he was up there, and he was like, you know what? There was a mistake. It was read wrong off the card. Moonlight won. This is the fucking end of the Oscars, dude. The Best Picture. And everybody's like, I'm at home. I stand up from the ground all in one motion and I'm like, oh shit, like screaming at the TV, top of my lungs, because I was so happy to see fucking La La Land go down. More importantly, I was so happy to see Moonlight win, okay? So that's the fucking story, okay? And the director and the producer went up there and they were like in shock. They couldn't believe it. Like they were flabbergasted, to say the least. Right?
Right. That they thought they had won.
Dude, they thought they lost. And then they were like, no, there's been a mistake. It was actually you.
You mean the
producers of Moonlight.
Yeah. Okay.
and the director. Dude, it was so unbelievable. What a fucking crazy moment in time. You should have. You should watch the Oscars just in case that happens
just
again.
Just in case that happens.
Well, dude, it was one of my favorite moments. But back to Moonlight as a movie.
Yeah. I mean, when I watched it, I didn't really know what it was about.
Neither did I. I went on the theater and I didn't know what it was about. I just knew it was going to be a rad movie. The movies like that get on my radar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to see them. I have to see it.
I like going to see movies when I don't know what they're about.
So do I. It's the best.
Yeah.
Because then you have no expectations. You have no
expectations.
You've just seen the poster and you've heard talk about it. That's all you need to know. You just go sit in the theater, let it all unfold.
Yeah. This again is another kind of like three, it's about the same character, but there's like three iterations of
three different times in his life.
In his life.
Yeah.
And it's split up like three acts, which I thought is really cool. So one time when he's really little, and that's his name. His nickname is Little. Then one time where he's kind of like, how old is he? Like teenager?
Yeah, like four. Yeah, teenager.
Yeah, 15. Teenager. Yeah. And then when he's kind of grown up, become an adult. It's a slow burner for sure.
Yeah.
But you can't take your eyes off the screen.
No. Partially too, because whoever lit that movie is a fucking...
So beautiful.
So good, dude. It was shot so well.
So beautiful.
It should have won cinematography too, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know what won that year. Fucking Life of Pi 2, maybe. the sequel. The Reckoning.
Back on the boat.
So you... And it's a fucking... It's a cheetah instead of a tiger. you worked with the older version of
With Trevante Rhodes. And I'm ashamed to say when I worked with him, I hadn't seen the movie. And...
Don't you fucking hate that so much?
This has happened to
much.
Me...
It's happened to me a bunch of times too.
So I'm watching Moonlight and he plays the oldest version of the main character. I'm like, oh, God damn, that guy looks so familiar. And then I look him up. I'm like, it's Trevante. I worked with him on the reshoots of Predator. And I'm like,
you could have talked to him about it.
I would.
But would you have?
I would have, because he is so friendly and he was such a nice guy when we were doing that movie.
He's one of my favorite up-and-comers right now.
Yeah. I can't wait to see him in more stuff.
See, that's what I'm saying. My three, like David Diggs, Trevante Rhodes, and John David Washington are like, I mean, they're probably my three like up-and-comers right now. Although David Diggs has been around. But this guy...
David Diggs is a musician too, right?
I don't know.
I think he is.
Well, he's in Snowpiercer.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah. I know, and I don't know. I have different thoughts about that. But anyways, moving on.
About Snowpiercer.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I don't like when guys, they're so rad and then they kind of slip into TV. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it doesn't just happen to black actors.
Like
it happens
Tim
to
Roth?
People. Yeah, it's like they're rad feature actors that belong in these kind of movies.
And then they just vanish.
Yeah, it's like Mahershala Ali too. It's like if he fucking slips into TV, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck. Now he's just stuck on some series for the next fucking 20 years.
Yeah.
And we'll never hear from again.
Some like legal procedural show that runs.
No, don't even go there.
29 seasons. And
I was even going to say like some fucking.
Has like a rotating cast. So by season 10, it's like nobody from the first season is on the show anymore.
If that happens, I'm going to be like actually mad. Like it's one thing for David Diggs to be on Snowpiercer, but it's another thing for him to be on like fucking Law and Order or some shit. Like get lost with it. God, that makes me mad. For all you actors out there,
don't
slip into TV.
Unless
you have to. It's last resort. Especially if you're awesome.
But Moonlight. I don't want to spoil this one. Like, I don't even want to take the chance because it sets it up pretty early on.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ooh. Is it going to go that way? And you kind of
don't know.
You kind of want it to go that way.
Yeah.
And then you don't know if it's going to.
Exactly. There's a few different, things that happen in this movie.
Yeah.
It's not what you think.
It's definitely, like you said, a slice of life. And I loved how
there's
a lot of like really intimate scenes with people that are just kind of opening up their hearts and talking about themselves. And I think that's such a great thing to see in movies that we don't see very often because the general public gets bored.
Aren't you tired of it?
And I fucking hate that.
Aren't you tired of people not accepting things?
Yeah.
Are we tired of that yet?
I'm fucking tired of that.
Do you know what I mean? This movie kind of is a double whammy of the things, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel like right now we're all tired of everybody being fucking ignorant. You know? I don't know how to say it, man. I can't talk today.
I get it.
We want change.
Yeah.
Do we not, Clayton?
Yeah, we do. But I'm just, I just, you know.
Not a lot of levels, dude.
I really want more movies like this where.
And that's what I'm saying. This is a black movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a great fucking movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a great fucking story. Great cast. Well directed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it won Best Picture of the Year. So
yeah,
you can't argue with results. Am I right? Clayton?
I don't know. There's just, I think on the list, there's movies that I have things to say about, and there's movies like this one where I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, I really loved it. And I don't have much, I don't really have much to say about it. You know what I mean? I just really loved it.
You don't have to. That's the thing. You don't,
it speaks for itself.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, some of these movies are just telling their story, and you just got to listen. You know? Yeah. You just got to watch it. Just watch it.
I've also, like, not to get off topic, but I am really struggling these days with art and the way people perceive it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm done with saying that movie was bad.
Okay.
I'd rather say I didn't like that movie. Because now I'm taking ownership from my, it's my opinion.
Well, some movies aren't art.
Well, no, but like.
But some are.
Anyway, this is, I'll cut all this out because this is stupid. Why? I just mean like this, everyone will have a different take. Right? Everyone gets something different out of art. And movies like this are art.
Oh, for sure.
Not all movies are art.
No.
We can fucking agree on that.
Yes.
Six Underground. but, you know, like people get different things out of things. So it's subjective, right?
And absolutely. And a movie like this, you might see it on a night where you're feeling really vulnerable or sensitive and it might speak to you, and you might see it on a night where you're having a shitty day and you might not even understand it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But I think just what I'm trying to get at is you might see this movie. I think when I saw this movie, it spoke to me in a way that I can't articulate. Like, it wasn't something that was like, oh, I really liked it because it looked good or that performance was good. It was just like everything altogether. The story, the way it looked, the way it played out, the tone, everything about it, it just really like grounded me and was like, fuck, that was an experience.
Agreed. Okay, should we move on to, I'm going to drop one now that I think is an important movie, Hidden Figures.
Yes. This was right. This was one, of course, I watched right away.
Of course you did.
Because
of the NASA element.
Yeah, admittedly.
Which is fair, dude.
It's a great story because it's a true story.
But this story of these women working for NASA, being exceptional math geniuses in physics, astrophysics, yeah. Right? Rocket science, right? Yeah. If this movie wasn't made, would you ever know this story?
No.
See, this is the importance of films, right?
Yeah.
And not just black films, a lot of films, but a lot of black films. This is the only way their stories get fucking told, right?
Yeah.
Is through films.
Yeah.
Because people aren't just grabbing books off the shelf to read about it.
I mean, the book was very popular, but if you look at how many people watch movies compared to how many people read books,
exactly.
Unfortunately, they're quite outnumbered. But again, this is a story that most people would never have heard, myself included.
No.
Unless it was a feature film.
Exactly.
And not just a feature film, but a
great film.
Phenomenal feature film.
Great fucking film, dude. They did a great job on telling the story on how it needed to be told. Did they embellish a few things for theatrics? Of course. But the mainstay is still there.
But the great thing is not like kind of like what you were saying earlier is like now you know. Now you have the knowledge that this happened.
So don't turn a blind eye to it.
And if you turn up your nose to the movie adaptation, then you can go get the book.
Yeah, true.
And you can delve deeper and learn more.
Yeah, because books are always more descriptive.
Yeah, and I have not read the book, but it is on my to-read list.
Well, I mean, I love these three women, mm-hmm. right? And I've worked with one of them, and she's super great. Taraji Henson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you work on with her?
Coffee and Cream.
Oh, shoot. Now, that was recently.
So is Coffee and Cream as important of a movie as Hidden Figures? Not at all. I wished once in my life I could work on something of importance. I have not yet.
Well, they don't come to Vancouver, those types of shows. Dude. You know what I mean?
Can we get into that? Can we do an episode about that?
Octavia Spencer, also in this movie, she is in a lot of things.
She's awesome.
And she's always like consistently good. Shape of Water she was in.
Yes, dude. Oh, and she's so great. That if she slips into TV land too, I'm going to be fucking choked about her. Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
I know. And she's got range too.
Slip into TV land.
Janelle Monáe, who is also in Moonlight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She, I didn't know that she's also a musician. She's a songwriter, rapper, record producer as well. And she has, if you have Amazon Prime, she has sort of like, I don't know what you would describe it as. It's sort of like an EP music video. It's like a short film that encompasses like five or six of her songs.
Right.
Super high concept. She's in it, of course, because it's her music. And Tessa Thompson is in it.
Right.
It's called Dirty Computer. Oh, and it's like,
sounds kind of cool.
It's not, admittedly, it's not the type of music that I would be listening to.
No.
But really cool music video.
I love the title.
It's like super like Blade Runner type visuals and like really over the top costumes. But I like the idea of that because I'd never seen anything like that. It was like, you know, we've seen music videos and even music videos like Thriller that are like a whole short film and right. then a music video. This is like that, but then like four more music videos and they're all tied together.
I love that though.
I
kind of want that to come back.
Yeah, it's super cool that she did it. If you have Amazon Prime, look it up and check it out. It's neat.
I was watching like a Rewind video hits on mm-hmm. cable. They have those channels where it's just music videos.
Yeah.
I'm watching these fucking things from the 90s and I'm like, I miss music videos. Remember music videos?
Yeah. I mean, people still make them, but they don't have the importance. They're not
nearly as crazy, are they?
They were, because it was pre-internet, that was the only way you could see the musical artists.
Well, and it set the tone for the CD you were going
to
buy.
It gave another dimension to the music.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's the best way to describe
just,
it.
That's, I think that's just been replaced by social media presence.
Yeah. Or
which is kind
of... How do people understand the sort of the other dimension of the music they're listening to? Like, do people still get albums in their entirety?
I do. That's why I like getting records.
Well, yeah, of course. Because, you know,
but
that's the way.
I would say like 1 in 10 artists have a good full album.
Okay, one thing of note about Hidden Figures is it was directed by not a black guy or a black woman. Mm. But it was directed by a guy named Theodore Melfi, who I think is a great director because he also did St. Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love.
You like that one?
Yeah. Hmm. You didn't like it?
No, I liked it.
You sound hesitant.
Bill Murray, I'm always expecting more from him.
Well, that's the thing about anything with Bill Murray, though, right?
I really loved in Hidden Figures. It is set at NASA. And it is during the space race. And so there's that whole story. But they kind of put that on the back burner. And that's sort of like the backdrop of the movie. You kind of already know that story, right? And
you knew it from
and I really, First I was, Man. Yeah, which hadn't come out yet.
It's the same story, though. You should watch those movies back to back.
Yeah, and then
because it's like one happens and then...
Watch the right stuff before that.
Oh, dude, because it leads
right up into it.
But it's fucking crazy you're right about that.
But when you get to meet these three women and what their role in the grand scope of everything was.
Yeah.
They really were hidden. Like,
they were.
It's disappointing.
And at the time, too, it's funny how it almost is worth watching First Man and this movie together in a way. Because it's interesting just to see how Neil Armstrong is portrayed in First Man and then how Neil Armstrong is portrayed in this. Because in this, he's just just a bit character almost, yeah, right?
They
he's
just an afterthought. Like, they just sort of meet him,
and he's kind of like passing. he's kind of like a cheesy fighter jet pilot, yeah, right? And he just is kind of like a dorky guy. But then in First Man, he's so like skinny Ty Gosling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like a way more dramatic take, right?
It's true.
But that's what I mean about these women is that imagine their fucking life. Like imagine their struggle. They're black. They got to go to NASA to go to work. I'm sure they're stoked about that. But then they're treated second rate.
Well, yeah, like
they got to fight for everything. They're getting pulled over or questioned.
Yeah, that's the first scene in the movie is they get pulled over, like, on their way to their first day.
Dude. Like,
but then there's like you, because it kind of, they all branch off, they're all doing different things, but it really follows the main character, Catherine, and she's working in with all the number crunchers, because this is before computers, and that's a whole other part of the story. But just her struggle with how the white men in that room
just laughed her off,
and like sort of like, you know, she's trying to do work and she's the best mathematician in the room.
Yeah.
But they can't fucking get over their own shit to just let her do her part. And they're making her check their work and like she's their assistant. And she just has to go along with it.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
Yeah. Nah, exactly. And you want so badly for the Kevin Costner character to like give her the recognition.
Yeah.
See, that's what I think separates great filmmakers from good filmmakers is that you really want the person to like succeed or to overcome, right? You really fucking want them to, especially in this role, because she had to walk to the bathroom
on the other side of the complex.
You know, she's always caring. You know, you just wanted her to succeed so badly and to get that recognition, and you want Kevin Costner's character to really respect her and find out that she in fact is the best mathematician in the place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like that movie, that's why it's a great movie, because you get to that place as an audience. You're like, oh, come on, just fucking give her the recognition. She's the smartest one.
Yeah.
Come on, all of them. And then even Octavia Spencer's character, when she shows everybody how to run those fucking computers, because she knew that if she didn't learn that, then she would be replaced by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which also shows her struggle instead of just being the dumb white man that's like, well, they can't fire me because I'm a guy, you know, whatever, right? There's a lot of struggles in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of wins for the audience, right?
Yeah.
Because you're really fucking cheering for those characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I loved it, Clayton.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was great.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Okay, so we should talk about 12 Years a Slave to wrap it up.
Nice.
What a great fucking movie. Another Oscar winner for Best Picture.
Yeah. And just as a side note quickly, Steve McQueen, the director,
mm-hmm.
who is black. Have you not this, not the white Steve McQueen?
No, not Steve McQueen from Bullet.
From the 70s.
Who died in 1980.
Another guy, British guy,
mm-hmm.
Steve McQueen, director. And fucking great director, dude. Have you ever seen Shame, the movie Shame?
No, I put that on my list because after I watched this, I looked up Steve McQueen.
Fuck. And what a crazy movie that is, dude.
That movie has a really good rating.
Hold on to your hats, anybody out there, if you want to watch that fucking thing. Oh, boy. But I thought 12 Years a Slave was... You know, it was a masterpiece in its own right. I mean, like a movie's about slavery. We've seen them. A lot of times white people get a little uncomfortable and they kind of spend the whole time going, oh, what a fucking atrocity. And oh, fuck, I can't believe they did that. And oh, you know, this and that. The difference between this one was the fact that he was free and then he got duped into fucking, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That part of it, I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh shit, another blind spot. That happened all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think what's interesting about this story in particular is that this movie is based on an autobiography
of the guy.
Of Solomon.
Yeah, dude.
And that this actually happened and the source material is firsthand source material, which I think is rare.
Yeah.
No, especially in this case that
is rare.
That a black man had written
published a book
pre-1900. About what happened to him, like I think that that into itself is fucking extraordinary.
And this is
and
where
it's so good that it survived and that now we've immortalized it as a motion picture so people can experience it and learn from it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Fuck, man. Like that, I knew going into it, it would be
tough.
Tough. You know?
And Michael Fassbender's character, like, but God.
There were a lot of
painful.
There were a lot of cameos.
Brad Pitt.
Well, here's what I was going to say is there are a lot of cameos that I was like, oh, cool. Like Benedict Cumberbatch and then Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about
that. And you're like, oh.
Benedict.
And then out of, oh, and Paul Dano, who we both love. And then out of nowhere, Brad Pitt shows up. And I was like, I wish they hadn't cast him.
Well, he was kind of cool that he was Canadian, though, I thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 And I think, he stuck out too much to me.
Yeah. It's hard for him.
Like
it's
Michael Fassbender blended, he became this character and then suddenly Brad Pitt's there, but whatever. That's
besides okay. But Chiwetel Ejiofor
was
so fucking good.
And I've seen him in a lot of earlier roles when he was doing like small bits, you know, like walk on parts and, I was just like, who is this guy? He's so good.
Yeah, he's good.
Like, he just really steals the screen whenever he's there. You know what I mean?
Well, and you felt, too, like, he really portrayed the you know, because he was educated and he was, you know, living as a free man in the North.
Yeah.
And you felt that part of him, like, the part of his soul being crushed.
Yeah. But then he also takes on sort of a false persona because I can't remember who says it to him, but they're like, you can't let them know that you can read and write because they'll make it even harder for you.
Yeah.
And so he's got to play dumb like the whole time.
It's fucking brutal. It's not easy to watch these movies.
No, it's not. No. And this one in particular is not an easy watch, but an important watch. And yeah, if you haven't seen, I mean, I think a lot of people saw it when it came out. But if you haven't seen it, you gotta sit down and watch it.
Give it a watch, man. Don't shy away from this material.
Yeah, I know it is. It causes a lot of discomfort, but that discomfort is a good thing.
Well, you just gotta just go with it. You know, right now it's okay to be vulnerable.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah,
it's not gonna kill you. Okay, the last movie.
Do you have a couple you want to mention?
Well, I wanted to mention...
There's a couple I saw that I don't think you've seen, and I can just suggest them.
Which?
Here you go.
Okay, I was going to say, I just want an honorable mention to Black Klansman, but we've talked about it before, haven't
we? Yes, we have, I think.
And Django Unchained.
Yep.
Not Black director, obviously.
No.
And also, I love that movie.
I loved it.
Because it sort of adds a sort of... it's a different kind of take on those times. You know, it's like that stylized kind of version.
Yeah.
You're still hearing a story.
Yeah. It's controversial in that sense because it's like, it's told in a way that is accessible to people that wouldn't normally engage in that content. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's what the advantage is of that movie.
And it's a revenge movie.
Yeah,
it's
only historical accuracy about that movie is that slavery
existed.
but you know, when you're engaged in that movie, that heightened sense of reality that Tarantino is so known for, especially with the Kill Bill movies, that is bringing in a new audience that is not going to pay attention to that type of history. And now, like you said, now they know
to it.
They've been exposed to it and now they're accountable. So you've had your fun ride. You've got to see Jamie Foxx get his revenge, but now it's like, you know what, you need to learn more.
Okay, so what else do you got?
Oh, I watched this movie called Little Woods.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch that one.
It stars Tessa Thompson, who I love. She's
I've never even heard of this movie.
She's an up-and-comer.
Fuck, I when I typed in Little, it came up Little Women, and I was like, yeah, I don't think that movie belongs in this episode. No, just going
not,
on a limb.
It's not Little Women, Little Woods. It's directed by Nia DaCosta, a black woman director, which is, we need much more of that. It stars Tessa Thompson and Lily James, and they're sisters by adoption. And their mother has passed away. Oh,
okay.
Right. So Tessa Thompson was adopted into... Tessa Thompson's character, Ollie, has been adopted into this white family.
Right.
So it's not really a movie about the black struggle, but right. it's a movie that was created by black female director, which is really great. And I think we need more of that. But it was a really good story. Like you enjoy, it's a slice of life. Mm. It's just about the struggling against the system.
Being adopted.
Yeah, but also they're in sort of like this small mining town that's sort of like dying slowly and
gross.
They're struggling and they got to get out. You know, it's like,
I'll give it a whirl. Is it on Netflix?
No, I rented it on Amazon.
Okay, one movie that I wanted to One movie that
I rented it on Apple.
On Apple. One movie that I wanted just to give a quick shout out to.
Yeah,
is The Hate U Give.
Yeah. I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah, and I don't think you need to because it's not really a movie for 40-year-old white men, for sure. However, it's a movie for young people to see.
Right.
Because it sort of shows how things can get twisted, mm-hmm. you know, and how kids, like, sometimes kids get caught up in a cause and some of them are doing it for the right reasons and some of them are doing it just to skip school.
You know,
You really kind of see that, how... For some people in the world, this whole thing that's happening right now is very important. And for other people, it's a fucking Instagram post.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And that's where we have to really differentiate. Mm. And just for ourselves, like, know that obviously the idiots on Instagram are always going to exist. But just for yourself, know where the truth is. Mm. You know? That's all.
That's based on a young adult novel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and it's just it's more about high school kind of zone because it's about a girl who lives in, you know, a certain area, and she goes across town to a different school.
Right.
So she's, you know, in that scenario, right? That where she's just in a whole, she has two different lives kind
right.
of thing, right? And then this incident happens and kids kind of go. Because that's what's happening right now, too, is everybody's putting their own spin on all this stuff, you know, and maybe even us included, you know,
but
we're trying to stay as close to the material as we can.
Yeah. Right? I mean, this episode is just sort of a suggestion of some movies that we've both seen that, and a couple that we've not both seen, but just some suggestions on where you can get started if you want to educate yourself.
Well, and like we were talking about before, these are just great movies and you'll learn a lot along the way, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got left, though?
We should mention Dope.
Oh, yeah. Dope was great. I love Dope.
Yeah, that was an interesting take, like an interesting style movie. I liked the cast. I liked the... It's got a youthful charm to it.
Now, I haven't seen it in a while. It wasn't 90s, though, was it? Or was it?
No.
It's like the kids just dress like they're in the 90s.
Because right. he loves the 90s.
That's right.
Because he's like, it was like the best time for hip hop and all this stuff. And
which it was.
Yeah.
He's right about that.
So at the beginning, you get kind of fooled because I thought you see his room and you're like, oh, it's the 90s. And then
it's not.
It's not the 90s.
He's just a hipster kind of, right? In his own way.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I see a lot of these movies when they first come out because they're right up my fucking alley, bro. Okay. Oh, well, one more I wanted to just quickly
mention. I've got one more too.
What do you got?
Okay. Just Mercy. Starring Michael B. Jordan is a true story.
Oh, fuck. We got a couple.
Actually, about
go on.
He goes down to the South to defend black prisoners that are on death row.
That's right.
That didn't get a fair trial.
Now, is this on Netflix, right? Was it?
I don't know. I don't know where I saw it. But anyway, you should definitely find it and check it out. Just Mercy's true story. And they show clips of the real guy at the end, which is really cool. I like when they do that.
Right. Okay. One I'm going to mention that you didn't see. This is the one that you didn't see that I think you should see still.
What?
Because it's a great fucking movie. Fruitvale Station.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the next one I was going to watch.
Because we've done a whole episode about black movies. We haven't mentioned Chadwick Boseman. We haven't mentioned. There's been a lot we haven't mentioned.
Okay? Of course.
And we haven't mentioned Michael B. Jordan up until you just did.
Yeah.
But Michael B. Jordan is also in this movie. One of his first, called Fruitvale Station. It came out in 2013.
That's a true story as well, isn't it?
It is a true story about this guy, Oscar Grant, who was a young guy who lived in the Bay Area, again, San Francisco, or Oakland kind of zone. And he was fucking murdered by a cop. Yeah. Same story. So it was a while ago, 2008, I believe the incident happened. Okay. And it's directed by Ryan Coogler, who is a great fucking director, this guy. He also went on to direct Black Panther, right?
Oh.
And he's a fucking, well, if you want to talk about up and comer, Ryan Coogler is the fucking guy, right? He did Creed.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. I'm just looking at his...
Fruitvale Station. Yep. Black Panther. Black Panther 2 he's doing. This guy's fucking blowing up.
Awesome.
Big time.
All right.
So he's one to watch for many, many years. And Fruitvale Station is a very important story to hear and a very important movie to watch.
Okay.
So this is what I mean. These movies that we've just talked about, I would recommend them 100% to anybody from the bottom of my heart. So anyways, you want to wrap it up, bro?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Me and Clayton are just starting to get back into our podcast mode again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's going to be a little inconsistent just getting it going again. But
be ready for more to come.
Yeah.
More topics. Clayton's got a few. Exhausted. Clayton's been a topic machine the last couple of days, apparently.
They're not all good, but...
Is one of them fish movies.
Yeah, fish movies.
Movies about birds.
Finding Nemo. Movies about birds. Also finding Nemo.
Finding Dory. There's a few good fish movies.
I didn't see Finding Dory.
What? Wait.
Yeah, I know. What? I didn't see the fucking sequel.
It's all right, actually. You
know
it's not bad.
You know why Pixar makes sequels? Because they've already built all the characters.
Dude.
So they can just like...
I'm surprised Get Out didn't have a sequel.
But Get Out's not a Pixar movie.
You never seen Get Out 2?
What are we talking about?
I don't know. This is more... Okay, so thanks everybody for listening to us. And we appreciate all of you. And we hope to be getting back into more of a regular schedule now.
Yeah. And I hope everyone's staying safe. Don't forget that COVID is still out there, so please wear a mask and wash your hands and all that stuff. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Yeah.
Because...
And be kind.
I told Jordy I had my mask on out in public the other day, and I was getting dirty looks.
Dude, that's so dumb. Like, why would people look? Who cares? Like, if people want to wear masks, like, let them wear masks. If you don't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look people for not wearing them.
Yeah.
I wear mine everywhere.
Well, the struggle I have is that I wear a mask not to protect myself, because it's for protecting other people.
Well, and they're suggesting that it helps. So whatever helps the scenario, let's try and help.
Don't get me started, because I'm going to get on to about fucking truthers and conspiracy theories.
What's wrong with helping?
Yeah, just
help. Let's help.
Anyway, wear a mask.
Wear them.
Wash your hands. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you. Uncle Dan for our music, as always, and to my sister, Amanda, for our graphics. You can email us at thepropscast.gmail.com, which nobody ever does, and follow us on Instagram at The Props Cast. Send us a message or leave a comment or whatever. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
And this has been The Props Cast. Bye.